One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This poignant message is about the man Jesus, his passion and his compassion.
Brothers and sisters, there's only one mediator between God and man. He is the man, Christ Jesus.
Pastor Chris taught about the life of Jesus, his liquid love, the reality of forgiveness, and the free gift of righteousness.
It's about Jesus and his liquid love. So that gives me confidence. Anywhere, any day, I'm what God says I am.
Now it will become clearer to you the responsibility he has given to us all, the great commission he committed to us, which is to make all men see and come to the glorious light of the gospel.
Live for Jesus and be glad about it. Live and be proud of your association with him. Don't hide your Bible. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed.
As you listen to this teaching on the man, the message, the mandate, the love of the Father for all men will become palpable, and you will be stimulated for greater exploits in the propagation of the gospel. The man, the message, and the mandate.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus Christ to me. Sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is he. Jesus is real. He will never fail. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus Christ to me. Sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is he. Jesus is real, he will never fail. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus Christ to me. Sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is he. Jesus is real, he will never fail. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. I will praise him now and throughout all eternity. Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus Christ to me. Sweeter than the honey in the honey.
Jesus is real. He will never fail. I will praise Him now and throughout all eternity. I will praise Him now and throughout all eternity.
Just one more time.
Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus Christ to me. Sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is He. My Jesus is real. Oh, He will never fail. I will praise Him now and throughout all. Praise Him now and throughout all eternity.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are you glad to be here tonight? We thank You, Lord, for Your grace, for Your love, for Your kindness, for Your mighty presence. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank You for the written word of God, the Bible, that You gave to us to enlighten us about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Thank You tonight. Our hearts and our minds are open for all that You have for us during this time. Our faith is alive. Amen. We are alert to hear Your voice, to be taught by the Holy Ghost, to be inspired of You, so we can take all that You've given us and do big things for the kingdom of God. Thank You, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. I'd like to welcome you to the International Cell Leaders Conference 2014. An extraordinary conference. A time during which the Spirit of God will minister to us in a very special way. Your spirit will be stirred. And the word of God will come to your heart to bless you. You know, the kingdom of God to which we belong is a real kingdom. We have not been given some fables. Something real from the heart of God has been delivered unto us. Something very real. Last year we had some important lines to take with us from the conference. And I'm sure you'll remember every tree a forest. Do you remember that? And each one of us being programmed by God's Spirit to be productive in an extraordinary way. What Jesus came to give to us is real. Tell somebody it's real.
It's
real. Say it again, it's real. From tonight, the Spirit of God will begin to stir you in a special direction. We have had already the first half of the year. And this conference is so rightly and aptly timed to be in the middle of the year to help us project us in the direction of the Spirit for something far greater than the first half of the year. And I love what the Word tells us. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, by my Spirit. One word from God could change you forever. Just one word. And during the Spirit, as you listen to God's word, it may be from the testimonies, it may be from the seminars, from the songs of worship, from the talk shows. There would be something special in each part of it, each part of this program, designed specially for you. If you give it the right attention, you will be amazed at what God will bring into your spirit to take you to another level. God is passionate about having you fulfill your destiny in Him. He's passionate about that. He wants you to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill your purpose. There's a reason for you coming to this world at this time. There's a reason. And God wants you to fulfill your destiny. Fulfill your purpose. It's the most important thing in life. To fulfill God's purpose for you. Tonight, I'm going to begin to share with you something important. And I've broken it into three parts as an introductory at an introductory level, the man, the message, and the mandate. I want to take you early in this conference into what we are about. Why we're here, it's about these three things. We're here because of the man. We're here because of the message. We're here because of the mandate. Would you turn into your Bibles in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read verse number 5. And here the word says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher." an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Did you see that? These three verses encapsulate the message that I'm sharing with you. First, it's about the man, Christ Jesus. Who he is. Our conviction of his personality. Our conviction of his origin. Our conviction of his purpose. That's why we're gathered here. This Jesus. Who he is. That scripture says there is one mediator between God and men. Brothers and sisters, there are not many mediators. There are not two of them. There's only one. He tells us there is one God. Only one God. There are not many gods. There may be many that are called gods, but there is only one God. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. There's no other way for human beings. He says one mediator between God and men. There's only one who reconciles men to God. There's only one who bridges the gap. There's only one who makes friendship and peace between God and men. And this is our conviction. And it is enough motivation to preach the gospel. Because he says, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. He tells you in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, there's no salvation in any other. For there's none other name, O God. He says, under heaven. Given among men. Whereby. It must be saved. There's no salvation in any other. My conviction of this motivates me to preach the gospel. I am convinced that there is no salvation in any other. And I'm inspired by that thought. I'm stirred by that thought. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way. Man is doomed without Jesus. There's no other way. And we can't continue to act as if there's another way. We can be quiet as though there's another way. And we can pretend that there is another way. And we cannot wait too long to save souls, for there is no other way. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the man, Christ Jesus. He says, there is one mediator between God and men. There's a God that they cannot see. There's a God that they cannot know. There's a God that they cannot approach. As we prepare ourselves in this conference from the very start, let me bring some thoughts to your mind. Okay? Let's read from the scriptures. Book of Acts, chapter 17. I want to read from verse 10, but the place I really want is the next verse. I just want a good place to pick it up for you. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, and they were there to preach the gospel. And I want you to look at verse 11 and what it says. In fact, I want you all to read it together. Verse 11. Can you read with me? One, two, go. Did you see that? He's comparing those who heard the word, the Jews who heard the word in one city, to those who heard the word in another city. There were those in Thessalonica who had heard the gospel. They had a certain response to it. And there were those in Berea that heard the gospel, and they had a certain response to it. And now the Spirit of God tells us what the difference was. He says in that 11th verse that these in Berea, we got that in the 10th verse, okay? That these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know what it is for the Spirit of God to tell us that certain people were more noble than others? What was the distinction? What was this distinguishing factor? What was the Spirit of God looking for by which He stated that one group was more noble than another? He tells us clearly. Look at it right there. He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They looked through the scriptures to see that what they were being told was really what the word said. But they received the word with all readiness of mind. That means they prepared their hearts to receive the word. Do you know there are people who go to churches all around the world without preparing their minds to receive the word of God? The prophets used to say to the people, prepare your hearts to seek the Lord. Prepare your hearts. So these in Berea received the word of God with readiness of mind. Readiness. They received the word. They were voracious for the word. Their hearts went out for the word. They would not be distracted from the word. And God said they were noble. He said they were noble. The others in Thessalonica received the word and they were arguing. They argued in their minds. They argued with their mouths. As they listened, they were arguing. They weren't ready for the word. But you are different. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I receive God's word, with readiness of mind. With all readiness of mind. That's it. And we're opening the scriptures for you to see whether those things are so. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He says there's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom. A ransom. A ransom to be testified in due time. A ransom. Meaning that he gave himself for us. To pay for us. He was the payment for us. Oh God. He paid what I owed that I could never pay. That's what he paid. And he paid for everybody. But everybody doesn't know it. And I've got to tell them. Because until they hear it, they cannot believe it. And if they don't believe it, they will never be saved. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell about the man Jesus. Oh, you know, we dare call him a man because the Bible tells us there's a man and he needed to be a man to be a perfect sacrifice for us. But he lived so in such a way, it's staggering to think of him as a man. But he was truly man and truly God. He was. He was the consummate man. He was the perfect man. He was everything that God ever wanted a man to be. Did you hear him pray? No man ever prayed like Jesus. He prayed different from the Pharisees. He prayed so different from all that came before him. He called God Father. An amazing relationship. No one ever did that. They couldn't. He talked to him like he knew him. He spoke with such confidence, such staggering confidence. And one time, it was so amazing, the audacity of his faith. When he dared speak such few words as though the Father knew everything with him together as friends, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He hadn't even said anything. I thank you that you have heard me, for I know that you hear me always. And I thought, dear God, oh dear God, could I talk like that? What a man he was. In the boat, He stoned his disciples. The winds were boisterous. The waves were raging. There was fear in the hearts of these expert swimmers. Fishermen they were, raised that way, familiar with water. They had no fear of water or waves, but this one time they were scared. Scared to their bones. They said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" The Bible says they were right in the midst of the sea. They knew no matter how they could swim, it would be too late this time. But the Master, as though there was nothing, turned to the raging waves and the troubling winds, and he says to them, "Peace." And when he said that, they were hushed to silence. The disciples, they weren't sure where they were anymore. They said, "Who can we tell what we saw today?" They said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" And I remember the night they felt like dying. That was the night they thought that dying was better. They're screaming. There's a ghost coming. They had heard of ghosts all their lives. Heard of spirits all their lives. And they thought this one time they got something for the Sadducees who didn't believe in spirits. But they're screaming for help. And there's a voice coming out of the assumed spirit. Yes, Jesus speaks. "Be not afraid. I'm the one." They thought, "I think we're dead." Why? This man's walking on the water. Did you ever see that? I mean, he's walking on the water. And Jesus comes walking on the water. They said, "Is he a man? He's walking on the water." Peter said, "Master, can I try it too?" And Jesus says, "Come." He gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. He said, "God, it's true. It's real." Yes, it was. "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? How can we describe him? How can we explain it? Who can we tell what we have read in the Holy Writ? Who can we tell? Who can we tell about this Jesus of Nazareth?" He opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, gave even the maimed, those who had their limbs amputated, Jesus gave them new legs to walk, raised the dead. But that wasn't all. Here is Jesus. He stands before those who come to take him. They come to arrest him. He had told his disciples he was giving his life. They didn't understand it. And this night, he'd been praying. And they're standing with him. They find Judas Iscariot. He had been one of them. And Judas comes with soldiers. They're carrying torches. And the disciples are thinking, "We can run very fast or we can fight." They're thinking, "What's the Master going to do? Is he going to perform a miracle?" They're not sure what he's going to do. Soldiers come close to Jesus. And Jesus steps out. He says to them, "Whom do you seek?" They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." Someone steps out from among them. Because he's standing with 11 men, they don't know who is who. And the one who's familiar His name's Judas. Comes to the master, embraces him, kisses the master. And Jesus stands there. Ever so graciously, and says with the kindness in his voice to the man who betrays him, he says, Judas, calls him as he always did with love. He says, Judas, dost thou betray the Son of God with a kiss? Judas doesn't know how to answer him. Says to them, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And right in the presence of Judas, they all fall backwards. Jesus waiting for them. They try to get up. They expect Jesus to flee. He doesn't. And then he says to them, if therefore you seek me, then let these go. So they let the disciples go and they take Jesus. He does not struggle with them. A miracle is happening. Can a man so powerful, so glorious, give himself to his adversaries? They take Jesus. And next thing we know, he's tried. And then we find a crowd of people come to accuse him. Those that he had healed, those that he had touched, those that he had blessed and blessed their children. Now they come accusing him of many things, the Bible says. And they say, this man ought to die. Shortly afterward, Pilate comes out and says to them, I have a right, the authority of the Caesar, to release a prisoner to you. He says, can I release Jesus of Nazareth and let him go? They said, no, crucify him. Crucify him. He couldn't believe it. Not even Pilate could believe it. They toned Jesus down. This was the man who healed them. By the multitudes, he blessed them and fed them. And they said, crucify him. He said, tell me, I can let him go. Would you rather have Barabbas, the robber, released unto you? They said, yes. Release Barabbas in the place of Jesus. He said, I find no fault in this man. Not even the one who sat to judge him found fault with him. In spite of all the accusations, they found no fault in him. He said, I find no fault in this man. And Pilate was so shocked at what he saw. He washed his hands. He said, my hands are clean from the blood of this man. But I give him to you. Do with him as you choose. And they led Jesus away to be crucified. We thought we had seen a marvel. But wait, there was more. They put Jesus on the cross. Nailed him. The man that the Bible says they hated him without a cause. They found no fault with him. There was no reason to give him up. And they nailed him to that cross. With his limbs and his hands bleeding, they lifted the cross and put him there. Jesus was crucified. Judas is still waiting for Jesus to perform his miracle, jump off of the cross. The disciples are waiting. They're expecting maybe at the last moment he'll do this thing. They didn't understand. The The prophet already spoke the words. Yes. And all those who were familiar with the scriptures, as they looked at him on the cross, they were thinking, yeah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, it took our place on the cross. Is Jesus coming down from the cross? No, he's not. Judas can't take it now. He's waiting for Jesus to come down from the cross, but he doesn't. And Judas is looking for salvation now. What can I do? He's thinking, who can bring him down? But he'd been paid 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus. He rushes to the priest and says, please let him go, let him go. They say, no, we can't let him go. He drops the money. He couldn't believe Jesus was giving himself to die. The others were still there waiting. Judas goes to hang himself. These others are waiting. Maybe the last moment. Maybe the last moment. Maybe the last moment. And finally, they hear Jesus speak. And he says, it is finished. What is finished? They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get it. Jesus is saying, it's done. It's completed. Salvation is consummated. Is it real? Is he giving himself? Okay, if it's finished, come down. No, it's not over. Jesus. Cries out on that cross. And says, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. His head drops. He's dead. Is he gone? The one who opened blind eyes is dead? Yes. The one who gave the lame legs to walk, restored even the maimed. Is he gone? Yes, he's gone. He raised the dead, but he's gone. The one who forgave their sins? Yes, he's gone. He's dead? Yes, he is. A Roman soldier takes a spear. He wants to find out. If he hadn't died, it was time to die. He thrust the spear into Jesus' side. Blood and water gushed out. The man was truly dead. He was very dead. He was gone. Jesus of Nazareth was gone. He was dead. He was truly a man. Remember, on that cross, one of the most powerful lines that men could never utter themselves was when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, forgive them. Jesus was a man. Yes, he was God's man. Yes. The Bible says when he suffered, he threatened not. Yeah. Yeah. He could stand in the presence of his enemies and ask for their forgiveness. What a man. What a man. What a man. What a man. Called for their forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, there's only one mediator between God and man. He is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Would you bow your heads and thank him? Thank him.
The message you've just watched is the first video of a three-part series, The Man, The Message, and The Mandate. The other parts of this three-series message are available on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app for iOS and Android devices. You can also purchase your copies from any Christ Embassy bookstore.